I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
No. Hello, you're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast. Say hello, Andre Canaparo.
Hello.
My brother's not here right now. He's busy working.
R.I.P. Stewie.
R.I.P. to you. We have one guest today.
One? I'm it?
We have a guest today.
Should I pretend like there's people lining up behind me to jump on?
This is our guest audition.
Oh.
You're used to it.
I am.
Our guest, Dustin Lancaster, he sent in an 8x12,
8x10. Glossy. Black and white.
Black and white. And
Pizza Hut National Superstar.
We picked him.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, star of Sage Screen and East Side Eatery.
All of them. That's
some of the best. Some of the neighborhood favorites.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're too kind.
You have a company called East Side Establishment.
This is true. You've done some research.
Yes. I saw the business card. And your business card, there's no room left on it to write shit.
I'm going to start making them very small or just omitting the ones I don't care the most about.
like a children.
Yeah, exactly.
But just scratch them off. Don't print new ones. Just cross off the ones in the pen when you hand them out.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, get a scratcher. Yeah,
or you can just make a double-sided card and just be really, really like egomaniacal.
Yeah, one side of the card looks like a regular business card, like, he's got a name. He's got a phone number, email, and then you flip it over, and it's all the logos of all the businesses that he owns.
Wow!
And it looks like when you wear the starter jacket with all the NBA teams on there. This is like, all right, buddy, we got a lot going on here.
Or I could just start getting them like this size. I don't know.
Postcard
size.
Your business card will be a 5x7 instead of a wallet size.
It needs to be like one of the accordion ones that expand like a cheap address book you get from a Chinese food restaurant around New Year. It's like.
Well, I was told by my director of operations that I can't open anything this year. So, and my girlfriend also said that. They made me promise I wouldn't open anything in 2015.
There goes my kale salad titch spot that I was going to try and get at you.
I doesn't mean I didn't say I was not going to. I just said they asked
me
not to.
You've been told not to.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this. That means you've got 8 businesses currently.
Something like that.
Approximately. Some restaurants, some bars, one hotel.
Yes.
Which is your newest one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, right?
It's not my newest one, actually.
Oh.
The Augustine is newer by 2 weeks.
Oh, I know. Slipping in there.
Two places open within 2 weeks of each other.
I do not recommend it. It was very, very stressful.
I do not recommend it.
Never open a hotel and a restaurant within the same 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you also have a brewery.
I'm a partner in a brewery. It's attached to the Hermosillo. It's ran by Bob Coons, who's a master of the hops. Mm-hmm. It's doing really well.
Highland Park Brewery.
Highland Park Brewery.
HPB, you guys have a cool logo where the letters are...
I actually voted against HPB because it sounds like HPV, and that was too much, but I was outnumbered. And
I don't see what the problem could be with that.
Have you guys been to HPV? What?
Yeah. And especially if you have like a Spanish accent where the B and the V
just
kind of
roll together.
This
is true.
I'm drinking, I've got 12 ounces of HPV.
I like hoppy IPAs.
Not a lot.
And I like giving girls
super yeasty.
A little frothier than some other brews I've had. Yeasty.
But it won out.
And it's working.
It's doing very well. We sell, usually have about 8 beers on tap at the Hermosillo.
Mm-hmm.
And we have quickly climbed the ranks of the beer hierarchy in Los Angeles. So we're doing really well.
What do you think?
Well respected.
What do you think the chances are? Because I feel like you have all these restaurants and they're all doing well, but I feel like beer could be a good long play. Like that's the one that kind of quietly becomes the breadwinner.
It's I think that you kind of always think that they could start growing and turn into these Russian River Brewing or
Golden Road in L.A. right now.
But Golden Road, the difference is they started that big. Like, they didn't grow. Into, they actually had to grow into the size that they started. And, like, this is a bootstrap operation. I mean, we literally
grower,
did
grower, not a shower.
Yeah. We are definitely a grower, not a shower. Like my space pin. So it's, we just, it was a shoestring budget in a, I think, 700-800 square foot space. We, you know, just putting tanks in there and trying to go from there as opposed to
what is a shoestring budget for starting your own brewery?
If I could,
you don't have to say.
I certainly can. It's less than $200,000.
Okay.
Wow. Which is pretty unheard of. I mean, that
number surprises me for sure.
It's pretty unheard of. You can't even. I mean, that's just a step up from like garage, like
homebrew.
Like, you know, that's
large home brewing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've grown. I mean, you add tanks and you add.
That sounds like the kind of operation too. Everyone getting involved is like, we're not taking anything out.
Yes.
We're going to go in this and we're going to work until it starts paying off. And until then, nobody takes anything out and we get it going.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And it's still growing. It's still trying to get there. It's still, you know, there's no real money being made. We're able to make money off the beer that's sold at the Hermosillo, but that's different than making money off of actual production. And so it's a long play. You definitely do it for years down the line, not necessarily
and
quick
then,
return.
And then I don't eventually think Budweiser will buy you.
That's what you hope. Yeah. No, I think there's a passion behind it for Bob. I mean, I can't say I don't do any of the out of all of us there. I'm the least involved in actual crafting of the brew. I've been in there a couple times to help bottle and do a couple of things, but those guys.
So you do all the bottling.
I do. I'm a one-man bottling machine.
I'm not really on the brewing side, but I do have to do the bottling.
Shipping and receiving is where I really shine.
Got to clean up afterwards, you know, a little bit. Hit the bathrooms.
Yes. More of a janitorial. Which I made the joke this morning to Michael, who's my best friend and my partner at the Hermosillo. That's all owning restaurants is at some point is like a janitor. Because I go to Baller Hardware at least once a day, most times twice a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For our listeners at home, Baller Hardware is like the Silver Lake local hardware store.
Tiny Ace Hardware.
Little Ace Hardware.
Very friendly.
Very.
Which is very helpful.
It's not an
Ace. It's a true value.
True value.
Okay. But get it right.
Yeah, seriously.
Come on,
buddy.
But it often appears mainly on Instagram with people being like, this place is called Baller Hardware. That's funny. But it is a good hardware store.
I'm glad I live. All my restaurants are close to it.
You have an open account there, it sounds like?
I don't. I should, though. I really should.
Think about it. So you could send somebody else over there.
It's kind of in the center of like the circumference of your empire,
isn't
it?
Directly.
So you've built your life around this hardware store is what it seems like.
You're on to me. You'll never see me further than a mile away from Baller.
We're getting into the nuts and bolts of you.
Yep. Touche. Touche.
Well, so your first spot was Covell.
It was.
Covell is a wine bar in Silver Lake.
It'll be 5 years old July 2nd.
Yeah. I took a pasta making class at Covell like 3 years ago.
By Deborah Gorman.
And it was excellent. I loved it.
Yes, who's now, she has a company now called Sore Babes. Do you know this? She's making...
Makes sense. Attractive lady.
Sorbet.
Like nude ice cream vibe?
That is it.
She like just a bikini car wash thing, but with sorbet?
It's doing really well. It's, she's...
bigger in the summer months.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's... I remember that. It was a cool class. I took it.
It was really cool.
I was making pasta as well.
Made
but we don't do that. We haven't done a class, but I want to get back to that idea.
It was a great spot, because I remember it was the Covell was closed during the day, but it gets such beautiful light, and it's such a nice place that I think it was like a Sunday early, and
you just start throwing some flour on the bar, and
and we cooked some and took some home, and it was great.
It was. Now I'm inspired to bring that back. So
all right, I'll sign
Deb
up.
If you're listening, you now have to come back.
Shots fired,
and bring the pasta.
The whole like thing that business you started,
throw that away,
cancel that.
I still have the recipes and the lesson layout in my cookbooks folded up.
Still have a little flour in your hair too.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, maybe.
What a good student you are. I don't have anything.
A little ricotta in those. Well, I'm not running 8 businesses and 2 hotels, so I have time to fold away those lessons plans.
Speaking of Covell in the daytime, as somebody who owns all these bars, how used to you are the daytime bar smell compared to the nighttime bar smell? Because I have this weird theory like that bars just always smell.
Covell doesn't smell. It doesn't smell. It's so people compliment us on the lack of bar smell. It's true. And we use Fabulosa. Do you know this? Mm-hmm. It's a really purple, right? Unnatural purple.
Huge, yeah.
It doesn't look like nothing. It's kind of the color of that bottle.
Grape bottle. Drink.
And
that's like the a Mexican
cleaning
product.
It's like Mexican Pine Sol.
Okay.
Except it smells like grape cleanliness. And
really clean grape.
Really, really fresh grape. And, and it doesn't smell. And then I also have an ionizer in there.
Okay.
That's another secret.
And also you guys are beer and wine only there.
Correct.
So that probably is a big part of it.
Yes.
So
beer stinks. I mean,
beer's that bar smell.
All alcohol, at
some point.
At the end of the day. But whenever you go to a bar in the daytime when it's not open, there's no people in there, why does it smell 100 times worse than when it's full of drunks,
so
people
true.
Smoking cigarettes, spilling drinks live in the flesh?
I think it's just that stale air thing.
Yeah.
I think that, there's probably no air conditioner on or nothing moving the air around. But
yeah.
I also think that when humans go in there, your bodies absorb it. Your clothes and your hair suck up that nasty
stink. It's sucking up
stank.
All those...
restaurants, before they start cooking in the morning, when you're prepping, you can go in and sometimes they'll have a tinge to them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Maybe that should be the real sign of a bar's cleanliness is they sneak in and do the sniff test, the 2 p.m. sniff.
Make sure
that's
going to
be my new cleanliness blog.
2 p.m. sniff,
where I just throw a brick through the window of your bar and then stick my nose in at 2 p.m. and be like,
A+,
not bad.
That one I would drink there.
Does it smell like desperation or Mexican toxic weapons? I'm not sure yet. Oh, nice. The latter.
The same thing happens to me. When I'll go out of town for a week, my house will be clean before I leave. I'll take out the trash. There's no mess. There's no food. And I come in after the windows have been closed and the doors have been closed for a week, and my house smells not very good because of just that stagnant air.
Get the air, dog. Get that cross.
Ionize it. Get an ionizer.
I will get an ionizer.
They're not that expensive, and it really... It does make a weird, stale, oxygenated smell, but that's better than stank bar.
Sure. Okay, let's talk oysters now.
Let's talk oysters.
We did an oyster.
That's where you and I really cut our teeth.
We bonded over a knife and a...
Yeah, we did
a knife and a metal glove.
November, I think.
Is that when you hosted the oyster thing?
What was the actual event?
It was
for
Eastside Food Festival.
Yes,
that's right.
And L&E was doing a live oyster shucking demo.
Our chef Spencer Bizarre
was Spencer.
He did the shucking. I stood.
And then who was the other guy? I forgot his name.
Where?
When? The guy who was shucking in the back, who's the oyster guy at L&E.
Oh, then it. Who was there? Was
he's,
no, who was with us?
He's a Latino fellow.
But I can't remember who we brought with us.
I don't know, but the last time I was in
Orlando.
There,
Orlando,
yeah. He's my guy.
Orlando.
Which, by the way, Orlando, this is how you know you have a good life. Orlando quit L&E maybe 3 weeks ago because he wanted to boogie board. He wanted to move down by the beach and boogie board.
Awesome.
Orlando.
And I said, I have these companies and I'm stressed the fuck out. And this dude is boogie boarding. I am doing something wrong. Orlando has it figured out and I can't boogie board. I don't have time to boogie board.
And now he lives closer to the oyster.
And probably just shucks. Yeah, he probably just goes
to the sea.
He goes out in the water, grabs some oysters.
Does a shuck. Shucks enough to feed his family.
Just need to grow some cross strains.
Yeah.
I make my own granola, and I love boogie board.
It was one of the few times that when someone says they're leaving, there's a lot of turnover in restaurants, and they're like, I'm going to get my 2 weeks. And you're like, why? And they're like, to go boogie board. I was like, I can't argue with that.
I got poached by the Mother Pacific.
You really cannot say anything about someone who wants to free up their time for boogie boarding.
That's a conversation that stops.
Poached by Quicksilver.
Yeah.
He's got the full ride. He's got the full wetsuit and everything.
No, but that's the conversation. He's like, oh, wow, I didn't know you did it professionally. Oh, no, I'm just starting.
I just get a kick out of it.
I'm not sponsored.
Actually, it's weird you said that because Eddie Wong, when he moved to Malibu last year, he's a New York hip hop, gangster bro, and he's fully into boogie boarding.
Really?
Yeah.
Boogie boarding.
You go to his house, and he probably wouldn't want me to mention this publicly. But when he first met me, he's like, "Yo, dog, jeans, come over, let's go boogie boarding." I'm like,
"Is that code for something?"
I grew up in Orange County near the beach, where boogie boarding was very normal. So it's just bizarre to see people boogie boarding.
I didn't even know it was still a thing. It
but
sounds.
Now I'm sad that Orlando is gone because he was my little backdoor oyster plug.
Oh, he was sliding you oysters on for free.
I mean,
I'd go
in there, I'd have a couple of drinks with the girlfriend, and he'd be like, "Oh, you remember me?" And he'd, you know, he wouldn't give me two dozen.
It's okay.
He wouldn't give me half a lobster, but you get
VIP status.
Give me three, four. Sent over my way. I'll take a half a dozen maybe on a good night.
Well, you're going to have to get in that with the new guys.
I got to start over from the ground floor. Yeah. Just send over all the new guys' info. Whatever their Twitters are. So are you like an oyster master now?
Are you fairly
well versed in the oyster game?
I am fairly well versed, but nowhere near as much as Spencer. He's like our oyster director. He has all the relationships like directly with the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, East and West Coast, Canada on down to Mexico. Well represented.
Okay.
But I know the difference between the five types of oysters. I can taste the difference between where they're from, but I wouldn't call myself a oyster, connoisseur.
You're not a human oysterpedia.
No. No.
What's the markup on oysters? Because they're so expensive.
Not nearly what people think.
And I'm sure that's the case, but yeah. I feel like I won't explain that.
People
beer and wine food, right?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you're going for.
People say your oysters are so expensive, and I say no. Oysters are inherently expensive. I don't make them that way. Right. In order for us to get East Coast oysters, we're like paying $1.50 a piece, with shipping or freight, to get it out here. So if you're paying $2.50, that's $1 a profit. But we have to. There's a shucker involved. There was prep involved. So
service, rent,
really,
insurance.
They're not.
In a world where the standard food cost markup is 30%,
right.
That is a horrible
correct
profit.
Yep.
On your food products.
Look, I just did a news conference, like a press conference last week at Tex for the minimum wage increase. So there was all these restaurateurs got together.
Tex is the French restaurant here.
The like 60-something year old, maybe even older, I think.
The institution.
You did a Tex talk.
that's
online.
Yeah, that's where I'm up to now. That's my next stop on my way. But it's true. There's people just don't understand the profit margins in restaurants. I think there's a large, sort of misinformed. People see restaurants are busy and they're like, oh, you're making money. Like there's a wait at your restaurant.
Must be nice.
Yeah, exactly. You are just raking in the cash, and bars are good. Bars have great margins, but restaurants, when you have a lot of labor and food cost of goods and everything, you factor all that in, you're trying to get to a 10% profitability. You're trying, but a bad month or you slow down, it drops down, or your air conditioner breaks and those things happen. You can make no money. It's true. That's why restaurants close. That's why they say it's so hard and restaurants close all the time. Cause I think that the idea that if you have sales, if you have $1 million in sales, you just must be crushing it. And it's just not true. And so oysters are seafood is one of those things that you're looking at a really, really perishable item.
Yeah,
and
the spoilage is off the charts.
Those are the two words that no restaurant person or chef wants to hear is expensive and perishable. Those do not go well together. Mm-hmm. And so I opened a restaurant that's just about those two things.
Except at the same time, absolutely brilliant for this side of town, for Los Angeles.
I knew it.
Because it was such a dirge of great seafood.
6 months after Covell opened, I went to a wedding in Boston, and I was at B&G Oysters. I don't even know what part of Boston that is in, but I was eating there, and I thought, God, this doesn't exist in L.A. Not even on the east side. It doesn't exist in L.A. Yeah. I knew that there's the Hungry Cat, and there was like the Water Grill, but those are seafood restaurants. There was no oyster bars, and that was the one thing that I really, really wanted to do. Was bring a true East Coast style oyster bar. There's like Swan Oyster Depot in San Francisco, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But that was the whole impetus behind doing L&E, and I think we pulled it off. I'm very proud of what we've been able to do.
You guys have a damn good chowder over there.
I think it's one of the best in LA.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe my fave.
Ooh,
it's narrowing out Gelson's as having one of the better chowders in LA.
Wow.
I will say it.
I've never had a crab bisque,
but their chowder.
Oh, I'm going to go to Gelson's right now.
Dude, you know what today is?
No.
Friday.
Is that like
for Friday is chowder day?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It's a Catholic thing.
We're all going to load up and go have some Gelson's chowder.
Friday is clam chowder day. Typically, like for the soup du jour at restaurants, if you pay attention to it, Friday is almost always clam
Friday's
chowder.
Lent. So you eat seafood on Friday when you're Catholic.
Wow, you guys are blowing my mind. I never paid attention to the what's chili Mondays.
Chili's every day.
Chili is a weekend.
That's what day I want. I want to show up on the chili day. That's my interest.
Are you a chili man?
I love chili.
I actually judged a chili cook-off a few months ago.
Where?
In
why
in
wasn't I invited?
Park.
It was in Highland Park, right?
What?
Yeah, I know.
It was it was right behind Johnny's bar.
Amateurs or restaurants? Like you, who,
a little
who,
bit of both.
Okay, so you didn't. Okay,
I was not pro.
I would have.
He wants to know why you didn't reach out.
Is there chili
it's
in this
annual.
Mini Le Creuset right here? that would have made me happy.
So chili, you're a big chili man, huh?
I'm from Oklahoma. That's what we do. Like that's I think
Steers and Queers and chili.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure chili was invented in Oklahoma. You might want to check that. But I think I
would believe that. And if it's not true, I would give it to you guys because that's you don't have much else going on for you.
And tornadoes apparently.
Tornadoes, yeah. Basketball, and chili.
What is it? Cincinnati spaghetti that serve a chili? What's the dish?
Yeah, not, St. Louis.
Not that that's, is there St. Louis?
One of those.
I was going to ask you if you ever had that dish.
No.
There's a regional dish.
Spaghetti with chili.
No. We don't pair things with chili. You just get chili. Yeah. We don't fancy it up.
Yeah.
But I want chili.
No spoons. No forks. You use your hands.
Ziploc bag, chili. That's it.
Yeah. Chili with like grated cheddar cheese and sliced onion. That's raw onion, right? Yeah, it's
I love raw onion.
So what do you do?
Sour cream. Oh, a dollop of sour cream. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you do a chili. You do a
and I don't like
shredded cheddar.
And I don't like. I like beef chili. I don't like vegetarian bean chili. Mm-hmm. I don't like turkey chili. I like beef chili.
Okay.
You know, like that.
What about like a bison?
Ooh, I will step. But that falls into beef.
So red meat chili. Yeah.
Yes.
Red meat chili. Yeah.
Only bison. What if it's like, I only eat bison chili. Yeah. That's actually.
And I hunt it myself.
First off, it's got to be bison.
And if they don't have it, I bring my own bison and I cut it up and I add it to any chili bowl.
It's got to be bison and it has to be filled by my
in
own
fact,
bow.
Have you ever been to, I made it a definite stop when I was in Washington, D.C. at Ben's Chili Bowl. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
No.
Make sure at some point in your life, you go
Ben's
to Ben's
Chili
Ben's
Bowl.
Chili bowl.
Chili bowl, just a classic, like
right,
like it's really it's not fancy chili at all, but it's just
there's a place in Glendale, not too far away from here, called
we always drive by
the Chili Parlor.
Yeah. I know it. I know
have
it.
Have you been?
I have not.
It's I just love any restaurant that's a parlor
of chili
and chili
in 2015. Yeah. Like yeah. It looks like it hasn't changed since 78 or something.
Those
like
are
that.
Those are my favorite.
But it seems like they got to have some good chili going on in there.
You would hope
if you're still keep your doors open and that's all you sell, you probably are making good chili.
Yeah, that's true.
You can.
And I think they keep like bizarre hours, like they're open from 11 till 1 or something like that, you know.
Oh, it'd be good if it was like 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's it. That's just, you can only come after you've been drinking
well,
all
we
night.
Do a
it's a breakfast
we
restaurant.
We do a midnight chili pop-up in Glendale.
It is Cincinnati spaghetti.
Cincinnati spaghetti. Cincinnati. I don't know that.
It's spaghetti served with chili.
I kind of like it.
I mean, that's about it. There's nothing really more going on.
I think I did have that at like friend's house growing up.
Sure.
You know, like I don't remember it ever, you know, raving about it. But
it was dad's cooking night was spaghetti with chili thrown on top.
Hormel and spaghetti.
Which is essentially like once you're making, if you're making your meat sauce.
Yeah.
Before you put the tomato sauce in, you just quit and you put the meat sauce on spaghetti. That's really what I think that how that came to be. And I was like, who needs tomato sauce?
It's good enough.
Yeah, I'll just stop right there.
Hey, if there's good bison in it, that's all you need. Yeah. Anything else will take away from the flavor.
Bison and spaghetti. Now that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a bison steak and lay it over a bed of spaghetti.
I'd eat that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's like a bison ragu situation.
You want to hear a funny story about a bison?
Always.
This is true.
Always.
So I take being from Oklahoma, we go, if you're from Oklahoma, you're usually either an Oklahoma Sooner fan in college football or Oklahoma State Cowboys, but most people are Sooners.
Yeah.
And certainly if you grew up in the era of the 80s, being a young person in Oklahoma, you were obsessed with Sooner football. That was like Barry Switzer was a coach, Brian Bosworth, the Boz, you know, just on steroids
no greater
and cocaine.
Time.
Yeah,
I have a friend's dog. His name's Sooner. So
yeah. So you know, we take it pretty serious,
big time.
And so we still go to a game every year. Me and this group of buddies, we always take an RV trip to a game.
RV.
Yes, wow. Yes.
Road wow. Pops in the back. Sober driver, yeah. Party in the back.
Exactly. You bring a keg of HPV and a...
and chili.
Just, and a crock pot full of bison.
That's it. So
there's a luscious odor going on in the back of that RV.
By the time we get done with the RV, because, you know, you rent them.
You set it on fire.
Oh, my God. It is...
You just burn it in the lot.
Hazardous.
We understand we'll be paying the full deposit.
So we were in, I think we were in like Grants Pass, Oregon, and we went to a restaurant.
I don't know if that's on the way to Oklahoma, by the way.
No, we don't go to an Oklahoma game. We go to wherever the Oklahoma Sooners are traveling to.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we don't go to the University of Oklahoma.
I was going to say, you should have used Waze because I think it was a faster.
I went way north and then back down. No, they were playing at Eugene.
The Ducks, or, right?
Yeah, okay, so we went to that game. And... one of my buddies, Johnny, who we call Soup, by the way, that's his nickname.
Great nickname.
Soup.
Shut the fuck up, Soup!
Yes. We were all ordering at this, you know, ranch house kind of thing in Oregon, he was like, I'm gonna get the bison burger. And he looked at me and he said, you know, the waitress said, how should I get it? And he looked at me, and I don't know why he took my opinion. I was like, rare, dude. Definitely get it rare. It was so rare. It was the kind of rare that is just dangerous. And sure enough, he got so sick.
Rest in peace, Soup. We'll miss you.
Soup, God bless you. We still laugh about that story because he looked at me like I guess because I own restaurants.
Like, what do you think, Hollywood?
Get it rare. Like, that was like, I have the definitive. Always get your bison burgers rare if you want to get really sick. It was in Utah. I take it back. It was in Moab, Utah.
See, there's food poisoning, and then there's Utah bison food poisoning.
Utah bison steak tartare is what he got with the bun on top.
I don't even think that you would have like a real good complaint where like, you did get it extra rare. Like, we don't recommend that.
Yeah, it's a horrible idea. Yeah. Oh, my friend says it's great, man. That's how I want it.
When the waitress said it's your funeral, I was a bit worried.
When you heard laughing coming out of the kitchen 5 minutes after the order came in.
So I now do bison always extra well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially my chili.
Speaking of speaking of traveling, do you plan on doing any expansion out of the east side of L.A.?
We did open Augustine about 60 days ago.
Well, that's in the valley.
Well, that's, you said the east side of the east
side. Yeah, it's definitely east side.
Okay, so that, I guess...
Do you mean out of Los Angeles proper?
I'm talking out of the state.
Ooh. I would love to. We took a trip to New York.
We can start with the valley first.
No,
because
that is the first one that's not on the east side.
Yes.
Let's talk about Augustine because it's new.
It's brand new. It is doing really well. It is high-end wine. I mean, that's not like super crazy. You can get more modestly priced wines, but we've become known very quickly. Every day, if you like follow us on Instagram or something like that, we post a board, which are vintage wine offerings by the glass, a lot of times between like $25 to $40, and then $1,000, $1,500, $1,800 bottles of wine.
Wow.
That are really,
don't drop it, Orlando.
My partner, one of them over there, Dave Gibbs, he has an insane wine collection. He goes to a lot of estate sales and gathers these wines. And so our offerings are unlike anything I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know,
really.
Wine buffs are freaking out.
So the wealthy valley wine buffs, they have now, this is their stomping grounds.
Absolutely.
A bold concept, too, to be doing by the glass, which must be very exciting for people to just want to be able to try that one vintage, pony up the bottle, birthday wine.
Why not? I mean, if you really want to taste like a 1968, you know, Lafitte, why not pay $35 for a glass of it? It's better than paying $400 for a bottle.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I really like that idea.
Yeah, it's fun. It's worked out. It's a bit risky. I mean, I don't think...
I have a question about drink tickets at this place. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah. On a sliding scale. Like, the orange tickets are worth $20. Yeah, the purple.
Like, I show up with the Hermosillo Buffalo nickel, and they're like, I don't know if those are going to work here for that. Yeah.
We'll give you a beer. You're going to have a beer on tap. We have Highland HPV on tap.
So that concept is doing well.
It's doing very well. I'm really pleased with how that's in its first couple months. You know, it's still early. But
who's DJing there?
Nobody. Just yet. We got a piano. Can you play the piano? We have a
piano's nice.
A nice little, what are those small ones called?
Pianette?
No, but like it's got a spinner, a spinet.
I'm not the music guy, unfortunately. No,
something like that.
A Rhodes?
You guys got an Xbox in there?
It's $200 bottles of wine and Xbox.
That would be amazing.
And FIFA.
Let me ask you. I mean, did you feel pretty confident? I mean, obviously, there's some level of confidence going forward, but it's the. I would imagine in my head the upfront investment in having that kind of seller. For an idea that really hasn't been embraced because it hasn't existed, I mean, it seems like a nerve-wracking proposition.
It is, except when I tell you how it came to be. So Dave Gibbs, our partner over there and musician, very talented.
Bee Gees?
Nope, different one.
Fair enough.
What if I was? I was like, and he's one of the Bee Gees.
He's one of the Bee Gees. So we had deep pockets.
He is a wine buff and a collector and has a massive collection. And so he would come to Covell and talk to Matthew and I. Matthew Kaner is my partner at Covell and at Condor. At Covell and Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know, they get confusing. It's like kids' names.
We'll give you your business card back if you want to look at all the logos.
Yeah, good point.
I've got your website pulled up if you need to take a look.
Thank you.
At
And he would try to convince Matthew and I that we should open up a Covell in the valley, and it would do really well. And we said, no.
And he's like, it's going to be called Covell.
Covell. Damn, we really missed the opportunity on
no,
that.
No, you didn't.
Still there.
It's a good thing Covell. That you did not call it Covell.
Covally.
Yeah, if it's called Covell, then it's like, we offer wines by the glass that are $3 and under.
So he said he found a spot that was an old Brat Brothers, by the way. If you ever fancied a bratwurst.
R.I.P. Brat Brothers.
No, they moved down the street. They're still alive and kicking on Ventura Boulevard.
Good for nice. This.
So I went and looked at the space, and I thought, okay, this is right. Let's do it. We started the build out, and a year later, we got it open. But he had the collection. That's why we didn't – it wasn't up front. So he's basically that's what our starter collection is. We have obviously – we bought a lot of wines that we sell by the glass. But it's pretty much like on consignment. Uh-huh. So he's getting what he paid for them and what they're worth. So it does help kind of curb those costs a little bit because you would – trying to – start from zero and get a seller that has those, you couldn't, it would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But he spent decades amassing a really large. Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine building something that curated, he must have so much enjoyment from sharing it.
He does. And that's where he would come into Covell and bring at least two or three bottles every time he would come in. So we would just sit down at the end of the bar and drink some of the best wine in the world, that you can find in the world. We mm-hmm. were just like chilling. You'd be like, oh, have a little sip of this, and people come over and...
Hey, can I try that? No, you can't. This is for the three of us. Yes. Fuck out of here.
For $50, I'll let you have a sip.
And you're looking at your bartender who hasn't rung a sale in an hour, and you're like, can you get this guy out of here? He's fucking giving everybody free wine.
Pretty much. So, but that's how that
There's a little dust cobweb floats across the Cisco screen.
The tumbleweed.
Yeah, the tumbleweed.
Well, that sounds like I can't wait to try it. That's a very interesting.
How often is that guy there at the.
Every day.
Every day.
Dave's at Augustine almost every day. But I was going to pull up on my Instagram just to see what today's. I'll show you.
Yeah,
I'll read an example of what today's like.
And also, another
drinking problem.
But wine, I don't consider wine alcohol. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's just my denial of alcoholism.
Me neither.
Well, once you get rich enough, you can just say I'm a wine buff instead of an alcoholic.
Right? But I also think that wine is food to me. Like, I don't, when I sit down to have a nice meal, be it bison spaghetti or a French, I have to have, if I have pizza, I like to have a glass of wine. I don't really in my mind go like, it's you know what I mean? Like I don't. Right. It isn't like I make a martini. And
a true gourmand without wine, food does not sing for you.
Exactly. All right. Let me see. So this is 2 days ago. There was I can barely read it. 78 Chateau Buscat Grave. It's $25 a glass. 83 Ridge Chardonnay. $30.
Ridge.
83
Northern California.
Okay. Adrian Ballon. Let's see. Pomerol. 82 Pomerol for $35 a glass.
Try and beat that.
81 Beaucalou Saint Julien, $35. Bandol 88 for $40, and a Spanish Cabernet 82 Tours for $40. See, that's what you can drink on a tonight.
But it seems like he's also curating different wines, different regions, different countries. Like it's really interesting to see.
It's a lot of California. He has one of the better vintage California collections. And I was saying this to him last time I was there. If you think about how young California is in wine, like people didn't vintage it because they didn't think it would be valuable, right? It's not like French wine where you're like, oh my God, this is from the 50s or 60s. Right. So people didn't even start saving California wine really and cellaring it until the 80s. But that's why you don't have any these BVs that are really old. They obviously do exist, but not as large as some of the cellars that they kept in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fact. What is the name St. Augustine come from?
It's just Augustine, but just it Augustine. Was based off of St. Augustine. Have you ever tried to name a restaurant?
I have a problem naming dogs myself. Yes. Like a restaurant.
Naming stuff is hard.
Naming stuff is very hard. And so Covell meant something to me. That's where in Oklahoma, it's a small town I'm from, where I bought my mother a house off of Covell. It's like the main street in the town that I'm from.
No wonder you're not single. Real fucking sweetie pie over here. I like it.
And then Eleni, initials. Condor was shortened from Conquistador. Hermosillo was the Hermosillo Club. So sometimes if you're gifted an existing name, it's good. Uh-huh. But Dave, we went through maybe honestly 100 names, and they were all on the wall, written in pencil on the wall in the space. And it was just like, I think it was a bunch of saints. It was like St. Francis and St. Augustine. And I said, if you take off the saint, I really like Augustine. But if you look up St. Augustine de Hippo, do you know who St. Augustine de Hippo is? He's
no, I should.
He was like
getting called out.
Well, I don't know my saints. Are you?
No. Not very many.
I will not take saints for $400.
Yes, definitely not. But he was like kind of revered for his conversion from being what let's call a party animal and a big drinker to being a saint. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's kind of fitting.
It really is.
And so it's stay. But I don't like the saint. I don't think I could ever name. And then there's St. Augustine, Florida, which I don't think anybody wants to be associated with.
Try not to draw any attention to Florida.
Yes, when you can avoid it.
That really does work out perfectly. An upscale wine bar is for a reformed party animal. You've somehow made it through. You have a lot of money. You like to let your hair down a little bit.
And drink the good wine. Try the good stuff. The grape juice.
The entry level price
made you
try
move
the good
to Studio
stuff.
City.
Which is awesome.
It's all happening.
I like the idea of all these names like drawn on the wall. It's like, well, Augustine's got 5 votes. Steve Sucks Dick's got 2. Like, no, that's graffiti. That's graffiti. That's not actually.
Put that up there.
No, that's not.
Hey, wait a minute.
You do the, like, you look at all of them, and, like, I think Monarch was going to be, like, Dave wanted Monarch, and I was like, I don't. But that's what I mean. Like, there's.
Yeah.
You start your brain, he was like, well, what
it's
about,
not bad, but it could work.
And then he was
work?
Like, what about Lancaster? And I was like, just my last name. That's. I don't want to have something. And it also sounds like the town.
Yeah.
Right. I think people will be like, ooh.
Sure.
It doesn't. There's no.
Doesn't say
naming
wine.
Is hard. It's naming really because then people always want to know the story. Like, because you have to say Covell is great because it does make you sound really like,
yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Got you laid many times telling the Covell story.
But Augustine, you can't just be like, just St. Augustine. Just,
he's a guy.
It's pretty good. We had a lot of them, so we tried a lot of
well,
them.
Well, that's the beauty of having multiple places is you're like, I don't have time to name a man. I'm too busy counting these 20s, dog. Like, if you have one place, then you have to tell them the story, but you're like, I don't know, man.
I can't even keep them straight. I don't know. Which one are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound on your phone? Oh, that's a Scarface money counter.
Speaking of money counting, let's talk about your acting career.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Let's definitely talk about that.
Where do you want to start? I moved out here to Los Angeles.
Much like many people in the world, you come to L.A. to make it in the entertainment biz.
No, I took it much more serious when I was 18. I came out here to go to CalArts. I got into the theater program, and I was going to, be a super
actor.
A thespian, yeah. An actor's actor, and so I went to school and did all of the plays, Strindberg and Brecht and
wow.
Yeah, so I had to do a lot of
tamales.
Shakespeare,
Gallagher.
Yes.
Okay. So you're wearing the tights and doing the whole thing.
Doing all of that and graduated and moved to Los Feliz. I've been in Los Feliz since I graduated. Since my last year of college.
Wow.
and started the acting, you know, got like a manager and agent and started doing that stuff. And I know you pulled up my you're saying this because you pulled up my IMDb page.
Sure.
Boom. Did some guest stars and stuff like that on TV shows. And
did some little TV appearances there and there.
But mostly commercials. And when you look the way I do, which maybe for listeners, they don't sexy. Yeah.
Here's an industrial fan accident, so a specific look.
I'm what they call in the commercial world ethnically ambiguous.
Oh, and yeah.
That is a good thing when they want to sell product. When
advertisers. Get that brush of color
in there. Yes, they go, well, he's kind of like off-white, which is good. Like,
right. The only time in the entertainment industry where being a tweener is a good thing.
Yes.
Yes. We do know how to sell you.
Yes, we can package that. Like he and so
if you were a script, we're going to pass. But just you as a person?
Absolutely.
I just greenlit your face.
I can bottle that shit and package it.
Yeah.
So I started booking a lot of commercials, ethnically ambiguous. And I did a product. I mean, I did every major beer. I mean, every Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, like Super Bowl ads. Mm-hmm. And that's all I did for all of my mid-20s. Is commercials, and I was like basically retired.
How much
golfing.
Money did you make annually doing that?
Come on, Doug, keep it friendly.
Like in commercials back then?
Yeah.
Oh, six figures every year. I mean, but especially when you're 25, I was
for a 3 weeks of work out of the year.
Oh, not even. I mean, if you're talking about like 10, 12 days worth of work.
10, 12 days of work out of the year.
Yeah. Hold on a second, but that's not fair because actors have to, it's the driving to all the auditions. If you're going to sure. 2 to 3, you have to go to thousands and thousands of auditions just to get one.
Oaks.
Yes. So if you, out of 365 days, you're driving around to two different places each of those days and then only working 10 of those days. So it's
stopping
not as
the
easy.
Coffee bean and tea leaves.
Yes.
Feast or famine.
Yes. It's not as glamorous. But there's a lot of like dance monkey boy dance, like jumping through hoops. Like they treat you like shit. When you're you're an actor, there's no when you're at that level. I mean, if you're a big A-list celebrity, of course you're calling the shots. But commercial actors, you're there to sell the product. Don't get it twisted.
And they know that you are very lucky and you have a sweet deal being there. So they're like
they will say you have to take it. If you don't take this deal the way we structure, because your agent's job is to get you the most money. And so then they're like, well, we'll just pass on you and go to someone who will do it for less. Or,
We really don't care, bud.
Yes. Hey, Johnny Darko, know what? Sign it or move on, okay? Exactly. We're trying to shoot a Super Bowl ad.
That's what they want. That's exactly how they view it.
They're in the position of power.
No, they call all the shots.
But also, if you're willing to do a little dance monkey dance, you can be making
golf
six
monkey
figures.
Golf.
Yes. That's
so, and also, in your early 20s, when that really is a lot of fucking money.
It was good. It was fun. I mean, it truly...
I mean, six figures at any time is amazingly great, but six figures when you know... When your balls haven't even dropped yet.
The best thing that I can tell you that I got asked to go back to speak to the graduating class of CalArts, the graduating acting class, and I told them, I said, this is after I had opened Covell, and I said, the best thing I ever did was save that money, and I invested it into myself and opened a business. Because then it liberated me from having to rely on booking the commercials and do that. And mm-hmm. So I saved that money and opened Covell. Now, granted, I never thought I was going to be a restaurateur. I just thought I was going to open up a wine bar, and that's what I would do every day and show up and hang out and drink.
Smart man.
So that was...
You played the game exactly how you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And which is why I think they asked me to come speak to them, is they like, don't... A lot of people like book a couple commercials, like two commercials, and then quit their job, their mm-hmm. waiting tables job, and then go... I invested
in a Lamborghini.
Yeah. But I look sweet for like the 6 weeks I could afford the payments. So that was my acting story. And I still lightly dabble in it only when they ask me to. I don't do it as much, but I do have a couple of commercials.
Currently
right
featured
now.
In a national spot right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I'm getting the Pizza Hut texts on a daily basis. I saw you in Pizza Hut.
I get different Pizza Hut texts. It's saying like, do you want to confirm this order?
Yes.
And I have to say yes.
Did you really order five pepperoni and sausage pizzas?
Yeah, my only Pizza Hut text is cash or credit.
Make it dank is not a request we can fulfill,
yeah,
sir.
Make it like really good. And yeah, well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Way to play the game.
Thank you.
Do you have any? Are you holding out for any? One last hurrah of the acting? Like if somebody was like, yo, Entourage 2, we got... No. Or I mean, like somebody gave you a leading role in a movie, like would you stop everything and go film it for 3 months?
That's like a spoil of riches, right? I mean, that's such a quality problem if I'm ever presented with having to do that. But I don't... It isn't something that I don't even audition for those sorts of things anymore. Commercials... I do just because you can drive to them like last minute or I can cancel. Yeah. It's not a big deal. But if I got to audition to do something big, I think I would much rather do something in like the food world, like hosting or channel that was going around talking about restaurants or bars. That interests me more to use that skill set in this sort of forum.
Are you working on some food related content right now?
No, I've been approached to do a couple of things. But I was originally supposed to host the best bars in America. It's a true story.
Oh, wow.
I was approached, and they asked me if I had any comedian friends that I could do, we could put on tape. And
I don't like where this is going.
Well, I went and got my buddy Jay Larson, who we really have been friends for a long time, and we taped it, and they decided they were going to switch it to two comedians. Male's here. And so they kicked me out and they used Jay. So now it's like, if you watch Best Bars in America, it's now my buddy Jay. And of course, I mean, I'm happy for him, but it was one of those where I was like, that's why I quit the acting industry, because it sucks when that happens.
So formerly friend Jay is now on the show.
But like that sort of stuff, like I would have been stoked to do something in that vein, because I think that I'm really, that I can lend my skill set.
Well, you were, we were doing the Oyster demonstration in front of a packed Silver Lake audience, you were really shining.
As I am now.
Yeah.
As you are now. As I've really kind of taken over this whole conversation.
You got what it takes.
Yeah, thank you.
A bright star in a dark room.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm sure you would be very well suited for that kind of game.
I'm not pushing. I enjoy focusing on my restaurants. That's what I do for a living, and that's my livelihood. And so I need to give as much attention as I can to that. But
okay, I don't need to compete with you in this game. I'm trying to do that shit. So.
I already lost, so I'm not going
to
start.
I think we need to clean the bathroom or do something.
I'll get on that.
This is my life, man. Don't take it from me.
No, I love the restaurant industry. I really do, or else I wouldn't keep opening, because it's too hard to work. You know, if you don't love it, it's way too hard to work. That's what people quickly realize, everyone that has a sort of romanticized idea about owning restaurants, which there are a lot. I can't tell you how many emails and meeting requests I get for people that want to, and I'm flattered to get them, but they say, I want to talk about this idea, and they say they want to open a restaurant or open a bar. And I say, well, have you, like, where do you work now? And they're like, I'm in advertising, or I'm in, pharmaceutical sales. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So have you ever really worked in a restaurant? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you should start there. Like, start by working in a restaurant, because it's not really that fun. Like, it's not that you're going to be like, this is the best thing ever, waiting tables, bartending, managing a restaurant. It isn't. And owning a restaurant is just that times 1,000. It's every single problem. You have to do it because you love the guests and the customers and the staff and the idea of hosting people. And that's where I approach it. Is like, I would be a host at my house any day of the week. If people want to come over and have some beers and watch the fight or whatever, like that's my idea of a great time. And so if I can do that in a restaurant, that's how I view it in a bar or restaurant. So that's why it's enjoyable to me, but it's not enjoyable like dealing with workers' comp and things breaking down. Or this morning I was at Baller getting epoxy so I could glue this brass plate onto the front step of Condor. Like that's what I do when I wake up in the morning, every day. And it's so exciting. My girlfriend's like, she always laughs when I have to deal with going to get the sewer line jetted at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday. And she's like, owning a restaurant, so glamorous. She's like, so glamorous.
Anything from Barney's? Well, you were built for it, I guess. And you also managed to take the time out to come and do this, which is very nice of you.
Always. I was super flattered. I know. Listen, this is a really cool
big
thing.
Deal.
It's a really big deal. I listened to it a couple times, a couple different episodes. And,
you know the game.
I try to do my homework, too. I didn't want it to be one-sided where you guys knew all this information about me, and I didn't know anything about you.
Speaking of that, I think a lot of our listeners might want to know some of your productivity tips for somebody who is juggling all these things, a seemingly impossible amount of tasks on a day-to-day basis. How do you manage it and also apparently drink alcohol every day as well?
get to enjoy that.
And also, You seem to be in good shape. You are a professional.
He's a handsome guy, listeners.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. He's not a fatty.
That's stress. Listen, you can stay thin just on stress alone. That is how
you're on the Jewish diet?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But I do hustle. I mean, I wake up at 7 almost every morning, no matter what time I go to bed. And I have to, because there's only so many hours a day. And if I don't start knocking the things off the list, you just won't get done with it. But I've said all along what I know has made whatever success I have is because of my work ethic, because I'm definitely not the most the talented or the smartest. I didn't
not
go to business school.
Not a ton of talent going on.
Not a ton of talent, but I will outwork you. That's my core competency, is that I have a strong work ethic. I can.
Where'd you get that from? Oklahoma.
My mom. Yeah, I think. That's all I can trace it back to. That's kind of how she operates. But I don't know where anybody gets those sorts of things. Sure. But I knew that I didn't have money. Right. I didn't have the money to really like. No one gave me a restaurant. Like a lot of times, it's a family business, and so you kind of start, and then you make it your own by what you bring to it. But I didn't. I was a bartender at Cafe Stella right here in Silver Lake for 4.5 years. I learned how to do inventory and ordering and payroll as I was like bar managing there. And I thought, okay, I know how to do this. How can I capitalize on what I learned and then do that for myself? And so I started with something modest. And I think that that's a big thing that people, they want to open up this big, their first thing to be this big, crazy restaurant with all these moving parts. And I'm like, don't do that first. Open up your little tiny 20 seat thing first so you can control it.
Don't go full Cheesecake Factory.
No, it's too hard. You'll almost certainly fail if you don't have experience in this.
Sure,
if people who are professional restaurateurs who open up dozens of these fail, you know, every third or fourth, and I've failed. We haven't even talked about things I've closed.
We won't.
We don't go back. We'd never talk about those things.
That's episode 2, buddy. Greatest hits and misses.
But you always misstep and you will always make mistakes and you always think that this concept, everyone that opens something thinks they have the best concept, right? No one goes, I'm going to open up a really bad idea and see if it works. Like your kale idea, you know, like you can try to do the kale, but
fart milkshake factory idea that I've been pitching around, not getting a lot of interest.
Everyone's idea is the best,
right? Of course, everyone thinks they have good taste. That's why it's your personal taste, is because you think what you're doing is really good. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to work really hard. And I've got this. Sometimes people have these budgets. They tell me where they're going. I'm like, I've never opened a restaurant with $1 million. How the fuck did you get $1 million? Like, who gave you $1 million to open a restaurant? That's insane. And
speaking of, you got a little paper?
I'll give each of you $500,000.
Yes, did it.
To open up your fart milkshake. And
that's
you can,
right. I'll send over our business. We have Google Docs that we can send over to.
Definitely.
Yeah, work within your means, people. Mm-hmm. Like that's the first. That's it.
On Mike Tyson's Punch Out, you got to hit the
Glass Joe first.
You got to hit Glass Joe first,
and then you go to like Soda Popinski and Piston Honda.
Oh, that was a reference that he understands.
Please,
okay. So
I base most of my life off of Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I try to,
as we do. I mean,
when people we're in like staff meetings, I'm like, I'd like you to think of King Hippo.
Me, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. We all are based on the Punch Out method. That's how we got here.
That's how you get there. But yeah, you know, you do what you can. I mean, I know what my strengths are, and that is I try to stay in touch with my customer base and understand which each neighborhood needs. You know, I didn't see a oyster bar, so I brought one here.
Yeah.
I didn't see a hotel. So I opened one.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about the hotel real quick.
Yeah,
While we're closing out.
Yeah, yeah. Let's close out with that.
So it's called Hotel Covell. It's above...
We.
It's above Covell, the bar.
Correct.
In Silver Lake, Los Angeles.
It's
Hollywood.
East Hollywood, Los Feliz.
East Hollywood, Los Feliz.
Yes,
that's
90.
Yeah, it's right on the triangular area of Hollywood and Silver Lake and Los Feliz. But it's a beautiful boutique hotel. Five
rooms.
You've seen
it. You were at a birthday party there last week.
I was on the veranda just moments earlier. It was lovely.
Thank
I have
you.
not stayed there yet, though.
Well, I'll have you guys over for
Thank
a stay.
You so much.
It's yeah, it was it's been a real passion project, and that two years in the making. I went up there. I first saw them. There was a leak. There was water dripping. It was New Year's Eve, and there was New Year's Eve 3 years ago, and there was water pouring into Covell.
No, oh my
seriously,
God.
like a waterfall over the middle of the bar. So I ran upstairs and I knocked on the guy's door. And I was like, "Dude, you got to turn your shower water off or whatever's happening because you're flooding my bar." And while I was up there, I kind of was looking around. I went back down and cleaned up the mess. And then I went back up there and I was like, thank you. And I was looking around his apartment. And they, it was just really struck me that they, it was like this 30s building and architecture. It looked like Chateau Marmont. You know how like they had those alcove oven built in like hutch things and everything about it I thought was cute. Although it was very run down. The building just hadn't been well taken care of. I thought, God, there's such great potential here. And I also, anytime I've ever had people stay, and you kind of hear the same complaint off of anybody who lives in Silver Lake, let's be like, there's nowhere to stay. There's nowhere to stay. You got to go downtown or you got to go to over to like Hollywood, but there was nowhere to stay. So I just thought maybe if I could be the first person to bring something there. And it's boutique. Again, I didn't want to open up a 100-room hotel. I thought...
Starting small?
No hot cookies when you check in. Is that what you're trying to tell me? All right, fine.
Are you able to call yourself a hotelier?
Is that a word?
Do you want to do that?
I'm reticent.
That's a very good
title to have.
That's
a word, though?
Yeah, it is. Hotelier is a word.
I knew that.
I have seen it written, okay? I've seen some people put it restaurateur and hotelier.
I think that's one of the coolest titles you can have.
I'm not mad at it.
It's
kind of like being an Esquire.
If you're like a single man and like, you know, amongst other my other ventures, I'm a hotelier, like, nothing gets a lady going like ooh.
So that's better than dog owner?
Could you use it in place of like sir? Like, could I be like Hotelier Lancaster?
Yes, yeah, like, that would be awesome.
Mr. Hotelier Lancaster.
Well, that's your pimping name, like Hotelier Lancaster.
And just HTLR dot Lancaster.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Man, we may be onto something here. I gotta get to the printing press. I got new business cards.
Business card locked down.
Listeners at home, Dustin just went into his car and sped off to Kinko's.
Just jumped through a window.
So you do own a hotel and it is going well.
It is going well.
So you saw the moldings. I just thought
these would make a great. These could be fantastic, and so just about the time that I was going to do it, I emailed the building was owned by the previous landlords. And I said to I emailed my accountant and my lawyer. And I said, how do I get an SBA loan? I want to buy this building and open a hotel. And I looked at that email not that long ago, and it was sent in September of 2012. And
you just said, ha ha. That's the response.
Yeah. They said tough shit. And so then the building owner said they wanted to sell it. They got an offer, and I said, well, what if I find somebody else to buy it? And I went to my friend who deals in real estate, and he bought it. And I said, if you buy this building, we're going to do this hotel upstairs, and it's going to be amazing. And he had faith in me, and he bought the building, and we partnered up on the hotel. Mm. And it was truly almost 2 years in the making, but we got it open in February. And it has been amazing press and very well received and super, super enthusiastic, positive feedback. So I couldn't be more pleased. It's a different beast than restaurants. Very, very different. You don't get to, it's creepy. Like in a restaurant, you can stand in the middle of your restaurant and see the food coming out and the energy and make sure the light and sounds are good. And that's how you kind of gauge what's going on. Mm-hmm. It would be very creepy if I just stood in the hallway of the hotel and was like, when they opened the door, I was like, hi, how is everything?
Did you sleep good?
Yeah. I'll just be in the hallway if you need anything, just checking on things. So you kind of have to, it's out of sight, out of mind. You give them the key and they go away and you trust that they are enjoying themselves and they come back and say, oh, we had a great time. We'll be back. But
awesome. So is it a traditional experience? There's reception.
There is a reception. It's a hybrid because we're not big enough that I can't run a 24 hour reception.
Yeah.
So we have a reception from basically 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Then if you needed anything, you can go into Covell, into the wine bar from 6 p.m. to midnight. It's open till 2 on Friday and Saturday. So you 6 to 2, but you're pretty much covered. There's an emergency number. You know, if you're with waters shooting out of your sink or something like that, you should call this emergency number. But yeah, it's somewhere between a B&B or like an independent long-term stay say, where you're mm-hmm. you should feel somewhat independent, although we have very nice amenities that you can order room service from, like, Home State or from
very nice.
From Covell. So those it has it's a true hybrid. I haven't seen this That's model cool. done before, but it is, I would say, it's very unique in that.
How many rooms do they have? Kitchens?
They all have little kitchenettes. Okay. They all have a front door, and then they have a rear door exit that you can go out to the verandas. So mm-hmm. it's like a patio deck,
oh,
like
wow.
a roof deck back there with some furniture and kind of sitting. And there's a little bar where we do private parties. But yeah, they're self-sufficient. Like you could stay there, you could live there. It's an apartment,
sure.
for all intents and purposes. Yep. Mm-hmm. You
extended
could.
Stay.
It's got a refrigerator. It's got a cute like Smeg refrigerator that you could fill with food and stay
coconut
there.
Waters
and coconut waters and Stumptown coffee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds mate. This sounds
you come see awesome. It on. We're gonna have a party soon.
It looks like a beautiful place for a LA staycation.
It is. Yeah. We've had a lot of people do that, and I would. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. They're very. Sally Breer is the designer. She has a company called Comingle. She has a mm-hmm. shop in Highland Park called Shop Class. Have you ever been in there? Good finds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go,
my if brother you, if you want to furnish your place, go to Shop Class. She's
yeah.
got great
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yeah. My brother always talks about it.
Yeah. It's she's they have impeccable taste.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, you did the you're the first to build the hotel lobby bar and then build the hotel.
Very true. I thought about that because someone else brought that up early on in the when we were talking about it. I was like, yeah, I guess you a hotel bar becomes a thing, right? Once you have mm-hmm. a hotel, people go to the hotel bar, and we flipped it on its head. And
which is awesome. I mean, most hotel bars are pretty dreary, aside from a few. But yeah,
we now have a very popular bar.
You have a very popular
with a dreary hotel.
Not as many prostitutes as we would hope for a hotel lobby bar.
And yeah. I've been to a birthday party at Covell in the library.
In the sidebar, in the private room.
In the private room, which is great because you go through a hidden door.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can. Which is such a fun novelty. It's
yes,
ridiculous.
It never gets old, right? Like, no, you,
not
like
at
from,
all.
From what you're like
I'm special.
4 years old to, 40 years old, that's still a good time to walk through a bookcase.
It was like, fantastic. And then the beer, have you ever been in there?
Yeah, I have.
And then so they've got that like the spout in the wall, you're pouring mm-hmm. for yourself. I mean, like that was one of the best private rooms in LA I've ever been in for a birthday
wow,
party.
Wow, that is an endorsement.
I thought it was really great.
Thank you.
Also, it's on the east side, so.
Also, he doesn't get invited to a lot of private rooms.
It's only the second one I've been in.
And also, I consider anything past Western the west side. So
I do too.
I don't like leaving the hood.
I'm with you on that. I'm a diehard east sider.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Dustin. I appreciate you doing
this. Thank you, gentlemen.
I feel like we would love to have you back on again sometime. I know you're busy.
I'll come back tomorrow, so we'll just keep going.
We're busy tomorrow. I got a few things.
About it tomorrow night? Maybe Sunday?
Sunday's better. Sunday's better.
I'm not busy, so,
Hey, you do have a future in the world of food entertainment somehow.
Oh my goodness.
And we'll talk together.
Oh, we'll make our own.
We'll partner up.
Yeah,
I've
we'll take it to...
I've got a lot of...
Take it to.
I got some irons in the fire.
Let's take it to Esquire and see. Say, take this.
Take this.
Take this. He's tall and I'm ethnically ambiguous. How could you beat that?
Where do we sign? So, if you want to check Dustin's adventures and endeavors out, you can go to Eastside or establishmenteastside.com.
Word.
Word.
Word. Take that.
And you can go to The Stew Podcast for this podcast and all the other episodes. Subscribe on iTunes if you want to be a friend. And tell a friend who may enjoy such a thing. And say goodbye, Andre, who has no social media.
No social media and goodbye.
You can follow me on all that stuff at Them Jeans. And thank you so much, Justin.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.